Would be hilarious.
Or some, sorry, some listeners.
People would love it.
They view with their ears.
They view with their ears.
Our viewers? Did you say viewers?
I did say viewers. Then I said, wait a second, our listeners. And he's like, people view with their ears.
That's true.
I did listen to a whole book in the last 2 days.
Sick.
Yeah.
What was the book?
A perfect union of contrary things.
Fiction or nonfiction?
It is a nonfiction book.
What is it about?
I kind of forgot the book. I remember when it. What?
I thought you said you forgot. I just heard.
No, I know. I just listened to it. Jesus Christ.
I know. That's why.
I forgot the book existed.
Yeah.
It came out in like 2016. It's a biography / autobiography for Maynard.
Oh, cool.
So I forgot it existed. Then it popped up in my like MJK? Spotify. Yes. It popped up in my Spotify suggestions. So I was like, oh, sure. I never listened to it.
Hippo read a book. Ooh, it was about Tool. Welcome back, everybody, to the Common Ground Podcast, the podcast where we talk about Pauper format, a format with common cards. I am your host, Cameron. My mic is recording good. I am joined today by my other two co-hosts. First off, Thomas Gunn. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Cameron?
I is living. Looked at an apartment today.
Yeah.
Got lied to about how much it cost. So that
classic.
Was, yeah, big bummer there. My other co-host, the biggest fan of Tool, Hippopotamus.
Oh, dear Lord. Hello, everyone.
I guess my hippo fact this week is hippos really like the band Tool.
This is true.
This is true.
Oh, if you go to your zoo, bring a speaker. And play Jimmy.
A little Bluetooth speaker. Just watch the hippos just like... Yeah.
They'll
just
bop. They'll,
just bop up and down.
Jimmy comes on, all the hippos and...
They come out of the water and go,
11. Exactly. They'll go, 11. All right. Today we had a... Not today. Today we're talking about a huge Pauper tournament that happened this past weekend in... Lecco, Italy. Is that how you pronounce it? Lecco, Italy.
One of those. But, sorry, Italian people.
Yeah. This is part of the Pauper Gun series. So once every quarter in Italy, I think it rotates between four different cities. There's a huge Pauper tournament there. This one had...
I think it was 688 players.
Thank you. That's a lot of players for
Pauper. It's a lot of players.
That's a ton. That's awesome. And so right now we only have the top 16, so we'll be going over that, and we do have some breakdowns for top 16, but we don't have the whole 680.
Yeah, we don't have all the information, unfortunately. No. We know some things just from osmosis, just like following some stuff on like people who were there posting on Twitter and things like that. So we'll piece together some things, but for the most part, we can definitely talk about the top 16 decks. And
I didn't see too much on Twitter about the tournament itself.
I saw some good. Yeah, like people were enjoying it. It was it had like 688 players was more than the European RC. Well, it's not the RC.
I'm sorry, not the RC. What was that?
Basically, they're like big, like when like how we have like SCG cons and those sort of stuff. It's like their own, like LMS is doing their own like GP circuit sort of thing.
What does LMS stand for?
Legacy something series.
That's super confusing because every time you hear Legacy tournament, I always think of Legacy, the format. Right.
No, but these tend to be modern more than any other format. But that was going on in Prague.
Cool.
Which of course is you know in a different corner of Europe, but in terms of calling out European competitive players to come play Magic, it's generally easier to travel from place to place around Europe than even for some people it is in the States. Just because our public transit is not quite up to snuff in comparison by any means.
If you don't have a car in America,
you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, it sucks.
Kind of out of luck. But there were more players playing Pauper Geddon in Italy than there were playing the LMS in Prague, which is pretty cool.
Woo! Go Pauper.
Pretty cool. Pauper's awesome.
So, Thomas, how do you want to do this? You just want to read out the top 8 for us?
Sure. I can read out the top 16 because it being such a huge tournament. For context for people, it was over the course of 2 days. There was 7 rounds day 1, 5 rounds day 2. you needed at least an X2 record or better to play the second day. So it's 5-2 or better. And then the last five rounds were played on the second day. So I, you know, I've seen posts of people being like, no, finish 9-3-1 to get into top 64. So like you had to have a good record to be up in the top spots. And they had a decent chunk of prizes for these. Let me see if I can pull this up as well. For folks in the top finishing placements, pulling it up here, it looks
like... I hope so. That's a hard tournament.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
It is.
I had the...
5-2 is hard enough to do in seven rounds versus...
breakdown. Oh, my goodness. Vamp for me, boys. You can do it. I believe in you.
Why is it so cheap to live as a human? Why is it so expensive to be a human and live? Sorry, it's all that on my mind.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
Cut that out.
It's true.
You're good. All right. So, I don't know how much it was to play the tournament, but here was the prize payout for top 64 and up. Yo, what's up?
Guarantee you is more than the cost of a deck.
It's very likely. Top 64 paid out €45. Top 32, €140. And some of it's broken down of like some cash and some amount of tickets with Card Market. Dope. Who were there vending.
Card Market's always cool.
Top 16 was €200. The top eight, the four top eight finalists get €460. Top four is €900. Second place €1,650, and the winner €2,750.
Nice.
So like that's a very reasonable chunk of change, especially playing Popper.
Yeah, I know. That's just hard for that big of a turn, like that big of a show out too. It's hard to top 64 that. I know Card Kingdom is very big on promoting Popper.
Card Market?
Thank you. Sorry. Yeah. Not Card Kingdom. They don't promote Popper.
No.
But Card Market, the European version of TCG Player, is very big on promoting Popper as a format and stuff, and they have a cool YouTube channel, and they post Popper content from time to time, and I know their head guy is working on like a best of series that's gonna be super fun to watch, so I can't wait for that to come out and binge watch all those.
Hell yeah.
You want to start us with that top 16?
Yeah, let's read the top 16 here. Woo. All right, so we're gonna go in reverse order as we usually do with these top eights, but this will be more names than you're used to because there's 16 of them.
It's double.
It is. I will make a note here before I read through this list that Golgari Gardens was the most played deck in the tournament. That was one of those things I picked up from doing some research, digging through Twitter. We only have the deck list data at this time for the top 16, however. So there's that little nugget before I read these off. All right. In 16th place, Galeotti Gregorio on blue-white familiars. In 15th place, Delinavelli Davide on a blue-red control. I believe this is it Terror? In 14th place, Audizi Alessio on blue-black fairies. In 13th place, Charlampos Kikidis, also known as Mogd, with blue-black fairies. In 12th place, Leta Simone, also on blue-black fairies. So a little pile up of blue-black fairies down here. In 11th place, we have Tambone Giuliano on blue-black Terra. I believe I recognize a couple of these names, like Audizi Alessio, I think also I recognize from other finishes at Poppergeddon that we've gone over. In 10th place, Aldigeri Lorenzo on Turbo Fog. In 9th place, I think we're going to talk about this deck to some extent, Santo Alessandro on Naya Slivers.
I know, that's sick.
That is super sick.
Into our top 8, 8th place, Carini Gabrielle on Boros Glitter / Synthesizer. Let me check in here real quick.
It's a hybrid.
It's a little hybrid. All right. Oh, yeah. We love to see it. 7th place, Sicione Andrea on blue-black fairies. In 6th place, Cardona Domenico on blue-white glitters. In 5th place, Bartoli Lapo, also on this Boros Glitter synthesizer blend. Our top 4, in 4th place, Nobili Raphael on blue-white glitters. Mm-hmm. In 3rd place, Campanino Fabrizio on blue-black fairies. In 2nd place, Toshi Gabriel on Jeskai Ephemerate. And in 1st place, Bragiotto Pietro on blue-white familiars.
I'm sorry, what one?
Blue white familiars.
Oh, okay.
Just not my favorite deck. A good deck, nonetheless. Like, it takes a very skilled pilot to pilot such deck.
Yes, it does.
I would agree.
I think everybody would agree that the deck is not easy to play.
Yes.
Is there anything in like particularly interesting going on in this familiars deck?
Actually, there is something that they're going back to that I do okay. like. They're going back to, well, this person particularly played Seagate Oracle in their deck.
Seagate Oracle.
The 3-man yeah, one.
The one time I did play familiars, I did play Seagate Oracle, and that card is sweet.
It was not, and this one is playing the Meeting of Minds, so that's the 4-mana convoke draw 2 cards over mm-hmm. the deep analysis is. So it's playing those as the draw cards.
They're also playing Step Through, which is a wizard cycler, which is also very nice.
That's super cool. So what wizards can you tutor with this?
You can tutor your Arcaneomancer. That's the most important one. You can also tutor your Murmuring Mystic.
Seagate Oracle is a wizard.
Godferrow's Faithful
is a wizard.
You can just tutor all your whole deck minus Meldrifter and Godferrow's Faithful. Sunscape Familiar.
Yeah.
Yep, so it's like, can grab a combo piece or can grab a win condition of Murmuring Mystic. It's also on 2 Merchant Scrolls. I know some people are always playing the Merchant Scrolls, so that just lets you tutor for a blue instant card and put in your hand.
Correct.
So that is cool.
You cannot tutor Ephemerate.
No, you cannot.
Who said that?
It may have been me.
No, I'm kidding.
It may have been me. This list is really cool. Nothing. Actually, there is a cool card in the board that I would also like to talk about. It's called Aether Toe.
Just reading that.
And then it's hybrid white or blue. For an instant that you put target attacking or blocking creature on top of its owner's library and has Conspire. And what Conspire is as you cast the card, you can tap 2 untapped creatures and copy it.
The creatures do have to share a color with the spell. Yeah.
Yes.
That's sick.
Yeah. The only other Conspire card that I am aware of is a card that's in the Elves sideboard. Gleeful Sabotage. Yeah. Not Gleeful Sabotage. No. It does have Gleeful in the name. I can't remember. It's right off the top of my head. But it's a disenchant. You tap on 2 untapped elves and you get to disenchant again.
Old Lorwyn mechanic.
Yes.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Cool but, nonetheless.
Yeah, big congrats for taking this down. That's super impressive. Especially with like this hard of a deck. Like that's a lot of magic to play. Especially playing a very grindy control combo-y deck. It's just, I wouldn't say control, but you're just digging through your library deck. So that's awesome, awesome job. These 2 Boros lists I want to take a little gander at.
Sure.
These were super cool. My computer is very angry. There it goes. My computer's less angry. But so they are both playing 4 copies of All That Glitters and 4 copies of Synthesizer, the experimental kind. And they have
also playing 8 Inspectors.
Yeah, they're all playing 8 Inspectors, and they have the Core Skyfisher Glenhawk package.
Yep.
So with that, they're not playing the Affinity package that the Affinity decks are playing, like the Mirror Enforcers and stuff. It's just dropping that for Lightning Bolts, Galvanic Blast, and some Trinkety Artifacts, and like Limbus, Wedding Invitation, and a Barred Battle Fist.
I think the Wedding Invitation in particular is really interesting here, because in like the blue-white list, I mean, I guess also in this list you have Glinthawks. So like if you're not putting your glitters on your flying creatures, I like that you have something like Wedding Invitation just lying around in bigger numbers here than I think we've seen it in the past, of just like something that can actually just push your glitters creature through. Albeit there's no vampire to like give lifelink, but I don't think you care if you're just like getting your
opponent.
Well,
I just like to kill my opponent.
Exactly. You're just like, oh, I'm just going to get them dead.
I wonder if these people talked about their list, because it's the exact same 75 from sideboard to lands.
I would imagine so.
I would also, because that'd be a big coincidence, if not coincidence. Coincidence. Thank you.
Good on them. You know, they both top 8'd.
Yeah, no, that's cool. If like you and your team figure out deck and 2 of you make top 8, that's also crazy cool.
Yeah. No, the list is sick.
I'll have to try it out. I'm still not sold on 8 Inspectors. I think I would cut 2 and put 2 Seeker of the Ways in.
Sure.
We were playtesting Hippo with blue-white glitters, and I think Seeker of the Ways just...
I did get to, like, just completely, like, basically fog you every turn. It was insane.
Yeah, because, like, you disrupted my glitters game plan and my just crappy beaters game plan got fogged every turn by you hitting me with 3 or 4 lifelink. And I'm just like, oh, you're racing me good. And gaining life? Great. The Jeskai Ephemerate list in top 8, also really cool. So we were putting this deck together, Hippo, and we saw somebody else playing a split of the Archaeomancer and Ardent Elementus. So I wonder if there's a particular reason for that, or if it's just...
One half can dodge a blast.
I guess
is the and it's a little easier on the mana. You can keep open a blue,
but then you can say one of the creatures easier. Is open to the other elemental.
Yeah,
blast,
I mean,
so it's
you're less like you say you're not just getting got by red elemental blast. Yeah, Archaeomancer.
I get that's true. That's true.
I think is the biggest reason. Huh. If I had to take a game,
and then
guess,
they're playing like the Kinko Artificer, which I am a fan of. I think that card's really good. And it's like a good win condition. Can block a terror infinitely, like we've talked about before. Then you see a bunch of one of instants, which is nice because this deck does dig through quite a bit of cards with Augur of Bolas, letting you know the bottom 3 cards of your library.
I do like that they decided to incorporate Campfire into their sideboard game plan. Because I think, say, you both got to watch me like churn through my library to probably, I don't know, 10 cards or so, like nearly every game. Because the deck just churns through some cards. So I like that it can put a bunch of those cards back in the library. That's pretty sweet.
Or just start stabilizing against burn.
Yeah,
or,
that is also a great card. And just to gain 2 a turn is really good as well.
That can be brutal.
I think it's interesting to note also that there is... I said before we read through the top 16 that the Golgari Gardens deck, the black-green control deck... was supposedly the most played deck in the room, and there are no copies of it in top 16, as well as no copies of Mono Red as well.
I did note that as
which
well.
Which is, like, those are 2 very big missing pieces in these top finishes, I think, in terms of, like, what you would expect from a metagame, especially, like, a big paper tournament. Not seeing any copies of Mono Red up here is pretty wild.
Yeah, because even last Popper again, we had that Goblin... Tomb Raider.
Yeah, yeah. Like Goblin that. Tomb Raider had its big like debut.
So it is kind of a bummer to see no copies of like or of Mono Red just beating face up here.
I mean, it makes sense if decks like Familiars and Ephemerate like had success. Yeah. And even like the Boros Glitter list, I think can grind a little bit more against Mono Red than maybe Blue White. Yeah, like then maybe the Blue White Glitters list can. Because Blue White Glitters is a little bit more like streamlined in on doing the thing. And it's probably a little bit more, glass cannony, I think, than these Boros versions. Because the Boros versions are also just doing, like you know, Skyfisher and Synthesizer stuff, too. So
Hippo and I were playtesting some games with Blue-White Affinity. Mm-hmm. And just playing it and just the 8 inspectors as, like, a backup plan could feel your engine if you run out of gas, pay 2 draw card. It felt really clunky to me because I feel like the 1/2s get outclassed very, very easily.
Interesting.
And like 2 mana to draw card can be awkward sometimes. Like it's good when you need it, obviously, right. But I feel like it can be awkward. But
it's like the good part is that it's like a free artifact.
Yeah, that's like the main thing. But yet we see like these, we have 4 glitter decks in top 8, 2 Boros, 2 Blue White, and all of them are 8 inspectors. So... there's got to be something there that I'm not putting together. Seeing, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to say it's not good. It must be somewhat good. I'm just saying it felt clunky in my pathetic hands.
As a Fire Blast enjoyer, you can absolutely argue with the results of the match.
That's true.
You can absolutely do that.
While this is very fun, you know what we came to talk about. We can't talk about this ninth Gardens? Place. No, oh. We came back to this ninth place. Can't talk about this ninth place deck.
Yeah, let's do
this. This deck is so sweet. They were playing 61 cards in their main.
Ooh.
Oh boy.
For those who aren't familiar, you can play Slivers in this format. It is another one of the Winding Way Lead the Stampede decks that you can play.
Mm-hmm. What do those cards do for those who aren't familiar?
So Winding Way is 1 and a green for a sorcery, and you choose either creature or land. You look at the top 4 cards of your library, you take either the one that you named, and the rest go to the graveyard. Mm-hmm. On Lead the Stampede, 2 and a green, reveal the top 5, or look at the top 5, pick all creatures from, or reveal all creatures that you want to put into your hand, the rest go on the bottom of your library.
So just, and those in lands are your only non-creature spells in the deck. So hopefully you could draw up to 4 or 5 cards sometimes if you hit the nuts.
I was playing some games today, actually, and I got to cast like 3 of those in one turn. It was just insane.
With Slivers or?
No, I was playing Walls combo. Trying to help someone test out for something.
Nasty.
Trying to help old Jay test out for some webcam popper.
Gotcha.
And those are still disgusting, if anybody needed to know.
So, but two mana draw 3 or 4 cards, pretty good.
Yeah, still good.
So Slivers and Popper is like primarily Celestia, so green, white.
Yep.
But this list is splashing red for 4 Hunted Slivers, which is a 2-mana 1/1, and all Slivers you control gain provoke, which when it attacks, it can untap a creature an opponent controls, and it has to block it. It
has a taunt, like a taunting.
Yeah, it has
effect.
To block it if it can.
So I also want to make a small semantics note, is that the Hunter Sliver says all Slivers. It is only the new Slivers printed in M14 that say Slivers you control. Correct.
Sorry, this one is printed in Italian.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it in English. I don't know about you.
I'm also looking at it in English.
But when you click on it on that website, it'll turn to Italian.
It does not.
No, if you click on it and it opens up its own page, it'll show up
okay.
In English.
My little hover over is in Italian. But anyway.
Yes, same.
Okay. So
work harder.
So it's kind of like a green-white aggro deck. Like, it doesn't play... Like, Popper doesn't have, like, the big, big top-end slivers, but it plays, like, these dinky little slivers.
All like, the lords are common.
Exactly. Yeah. So it plays all these lords, so it's, like, a dinky 2-mana 1/1, all slivers get +1/+1, and there's 2 different versions of those. There's a white one, and there's 3 of them?
Yeah, there's 2 green ones.
There's two green ones.
And a white one.
Yeah, so you get 2 or 3 of them on a board... Yeah, and
12 lords in your creature deck is pretty good.
Yeah. And then they start gaining vigilance and other random keywords and stuff, and your board of 1/1s quickly becomes boards of 5/5 vigilance, haste, and their opponent has to block them sometimes.
There are 2 that I have never seen prior to today. One being Quicksliver is 1 in a green for a 1/1. It says you may play Quicksliver at any time you can play an instant. And it says any player may play Sliver cards at any time that they may cast
instant. It's Flash Sliver.
Yeah,
it's Flash. That's a common.
Yes. And the other one is actually in the board, and it is a black Sliver.
Yeah, I saw that too.
It's called a Crypt Sliver.
You've seen that.
This one is 1 in a black for 1/1. It says all Slivers have tap, regenerate target Sliver.
That's really good.
That's a nice combo.
You can also have it target like itself.
Oh, correct. Yeah. You can.
Wow.
That's a nice combo with a Vigilant Sliver, too.
Yes, it is.
Ooh, attack and still be able to...
Sentinel Sliver?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Trying to see if I can remember what some of these do off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You also have your Mana Dork one. You have Jim Hyde.
Yep. So this is a cool deck. I've never played Slivers. I think we've all played against Slivers because we have somebody in our locals, Mark, the guy that puts together all of our reports and stuff for our locals. Mm-hmm. He is a big Sliver stan in...
He does love Slivers.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. And it's foiled and beautiful.
It is very pretty. But yeah, that's like the exciting deck in the top 16. They're, in a moment, I would like to take a look at
Turbo Fog deck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I would like, the other deck I would like to take a look at.
Yeah, that's the other exciting deck.
This also has a card I have never seen before.
Oh.
It is a card called Respite. It's 1 in a green for an instant. It says creatures deal no combat damage this turn. Gain 1 life for each attacking creature.
So sick. Just another fog.
Just a fog. Gain life this time.
I have seen this card before. There was a time my ex was collecting Rebecca Koi art. So I have seen this.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had never seen that card before. But this looks pretty stuff. Oh, actually, they're going back to playing pieces of the puzzle. That's exciting.
Ooh.
That's not normal anymore.
Oh, huh.
Pioneer's Forgotten Boy. Pieces of the Puzzle.
Huh. Yeah, Pieces of the Puzzle. Not played in the old Turbo Fog anymore.
I never realized I stopped playing, because I tend not to pay too close attention to the list.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
I do like that they have 3 Murmuring Mystics in the board. That is sick.
I also like they have 4 Dispel.
Yeah, that's also really good. Wow, I really like this list.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
A lot of Fairy Macabre showing up in the sideboards.
Yeah, too. There was, because it's uncounterable.
Yeah.
Should an uncounterable piece of graveyard hate? It's pretty good.
Yeah. So I wonder.
It's important against the random like dredge and combo decks too. Just like have a instant speed something to interact
that they cannot interact with.
Exactly.
Less good against the Terra decks, and we only have two Terra decks in top 16. One blue red, one blue black.
Yeah. This is also really easy to snipe against a lot of the like ephemerate decks too.
Ooh yeah. Take the thing out of the graveyard.
Yep. At instant speed, with they can't stop.
Pretty I like good. That a lot.
Yeah. I do like the amount of Fairy Macabre going on here. Pretty, or in the I guess in the top 16, it's pretty good.
And it's also like a really small thing, but I like their choice of Wilt as their like naturalize effect.
Yeah, cycles.
One in a green. Exactly. One in a green, instant from Ikoria. It's just a naturalize, but it has cycling too. Yeah. It's sick. Just like, you know, just cycle and dig. If you don't end up needing to destroy a relevant permanent, just cycle it away and keep digging towards your fogs and your combo pieces. The fog deck is sick. One of these days, I'm going to play this deck at our locals.
Deck is sweet.
And everyone's going to be like, what is Thomas
doing? I don't know that I would play it the next time we do, because there's going to be some pawns in the room.
At least one person on Ponza.
Minimum one person
on Ponza. Yeah, you just dodge that.
Who's
That's
playing
fine.
Ponza?
Matt. But
Mr. Centillus is definitely going to play Ponza next time.
Oh, excellent. That's but fine. We'll just dodge.
Does half the top eight being glitter scare either of you?
I don't think so. I think it makes sense. It's easy. I think like the glitter's core is like the best thing to be doing in the format, like quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
That would be What's that would quote be my unquote take. Mean? Like quote like the bet like quote the best thing to do end quote. Like
it is.
Yeah,
like,
I asked what the quotes meant. You just said the same thing.
Yeah, like, means, like,
that's what people are saying.
Oh, got you.
Yeah,
okay.
Like I meaning like I could be wrong, but it's
like that's
that
the perceived.
Like a, it
best
seems
thing
like
to
yeah,
be.
Like it's okay. A community, like a community sentiment, and it's also had a lot of really good results the last few weeks, and it's got also you. Just really strong.
It's just
okay. I will move more toward the center on this particular argument. I think the fact that you are now like we have dabbled into. Different color combinations of add or of whatever flavor that you want to
that keeps popping up for a little
bit. Keeps popping up. What that is doing is adding less diversity to the format because it all revolves around one card.
Glint Hawk.
No, yeah, I don't think that's it. But
Glint Hawk's pretty good.
But you get what I'm saying. It's like it's taking over more and more and more of a share of the metagame, and that's not necessarily what they're looking for. They're looking for something a little. I think they're looking for something a little more balanced, maybe.
Like
obviously,
other decks just being like, "Hey, we can play all that glitters, and it'll be fine."
Yeah, basically, any deck that wants to play glitters can find a way to play glitters.
Soon, Boggles is gonna be taking over the meta.
You just wait. You just wait till we get to the challenges.
Oh, okay, that's hilarious. I didn't know that. That's funny.
I previewed a little.
But
getting ahead of ourselves.
But yeah, I think I'll move a little bit more toward the center on this one. That it could see it.
I guess I haven't looked at this week's challenges, so let's just see how it's performing there. And next time I play against some paper, let's see how bad I lose to it, and that'll dictate. Thank you. That'll dictate if I want the deck banned or not, if I lose to it or not. So
you went yeah. I was like That's last great. Time you played
me and everybody else.
It's a great great measure.
I lost to it, so I hate it.
Very balanced, very unbiased.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
We have a little top 16 breakdown. Do you think it's worth going a meta share in that, or is it just even too small? Yeah. Where I could just link it. And
there's a bunch of fairies, a bunch of glitters, terror.
Yeah.
Like, there's the two standout. Like, there's the... Or, sorry. The three standout decks being...
It's really just fairies and glitters...
There are five fairies listed in top 16, two in top
eight. That's a lot. Yeah,
like,
no,
that's a good representation.
I do think I like having something like fairies sit on top of the metagame more than I do like something like glitters, because glitters just stranglehold that people don't like, but fairies is just like this. It's a fairy deck. Like, it's not doing anything busted. It's just the fairest thing you can possibly do.
And Spellslayer Sprite's so fun to cast.
Yeah, Spellslayer Sprite is a drug. That is great.
You know what's better than casting a Spellslayer Sprite?
Lava darting a Spellslayer Sprite with the trigger on the stack.
I mean, I've done lots of things to a Spellslayer Sprite on the stack.
Oh my gosh. With the trigger on the stack.
With
the
trigger on the stack,
No, picking it back up with your...
your ninjutsu creatures? Yeah.
Yeah, that's also pretty good.
That's a drug.
Yeah.
Snapping it.
Yep.
Snip, I don't snap spell search.
But I mean,
snap,
looking at like I have Mog's List pulled up, and it's just good. It's just good cards. You play Brainstorm, Counterspell, Snuff Out, Lorien Revealed, Blasts, and the Fairy Package.
All the interactions so good right now in the meta when people are trying to suit up one creature and you can snuff out in response. If they try a Metallic Rebuke, you can have the Counterspell ready for it or another removal spell backup for it.
Yeah, they're up to all, at least in Mog's List, they're up to all four snuff outs.
Yep,
that's a good indication of exactly that.
Highest place list I'm looking at is on all four snuff outs as well, so that makes sense.
Well, good job to all the people who played in the Poppergeddon this time. All 688
we gotta get
of
over
those.
There. We got to get over to play some Poppergeddon sometime.
Go fund me. Put me to let us go play in Italy.
I posted on Twitter. I was like, man, I really want to play Poppergeddon. And Will Hall commented and he was like, well, there's one the next one's in Pisa the week before Amsterdam. And I was like, well, if I decide to go to Dallas and if I successfully LCQ into the RC, and if I manage to queue for Pro Tour Amsterdam,
sounds like a lot has to go correct for you to go play Popper in Giza.
In Pisa.
I'm sorry, Pisa.
Yeah, Giza is a character in Magic the Gathering that just got a new card spoiled. Poppergeddon, sick, just awesome stuff,
super cool.
I really want to play one of these things.
The Italians love Popper, and I am very jealous.
Very, very jealous.
Also jealous.
Like, we, our big Popper event in Chicago had 200 people.
I think 120. I think it like almost capped. It was like 120 ish.
Okay, so not 200. Got it. So it's just very jealous of the Italians and their Popper scene.
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to move over to the weekend challenges?
Let's do it. Was the first one March 23rd?
The first one is March 23rd.
The challenge, the 32 challenge with 50
players.
Individuals that participated.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
What a nice little top eight.
Shall we?
We shall.
Go for it.
All right. Popper Challenge 32. Saturday, March 23rd. In eighth place, Hamuda with Mogwarts, a.k.a. Goblin Combo. In seventh place, Tyrube 1618 on Cycling Storm, bringing it back. In sixth place, Bernas Torres on Cawgates. In fifth place, Miskin Bollock on Blue Black Fairies. In fourth place, Mister on Mono Red Koldatha. In third place, Try Hard Mull on Boros Synthesizer. In second place, Totem Silence on Orzhov Blade.
Woo.
And in first place, with a 9-0 record, Etzocrato on Cawgates.
Not losing any games there.
No.
That's impressive.
No matches lost.
Wow, very clean. Such a clean 75 going on here.
In that Cawgates list?
Oh, yeah. Super, super clean.
All four Prismatic Strands.
Yeah.
Like, nothing, I love it. There's else. This list is just super clean. I mean, it's got five total blue blast effects, four red blast, two breath weapon, and four dust to dust.
Wow.
Sick.
Nice easy sideboard.
Yep. Easy. Take out the bad cards and put in the good cards.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go. What a concept.
Advice from Hippo himself. That one's free.
That one was free.
The first one's free.
The first one's free. You don't even have to listen to last week's episode.
I mean, Cawgates is a fun deck to play. Like, when you get a double activate, like a Basilisk and a Sacred Cat, it's like, can I lose here anymore? It's, that stuff's fun.
I want to point out the top four mono-red Koldatha list. They are hedging a little bit. They're cutting a couple of pieces here and there. Like, they're on two Goblin Blast Runners, four of the rest of the creatures, the usual creatures, I should say. And they've cut down to, like, three Chain Lightning. And they're fitting in a couple main deck copies of End the Festivities for the Mirror and other applications. They have one Reckless Impulse, one Ren's Resolve, which these decks kind of have, like, one copy of generally. And they're playing the one of Fire Blast that these decks sometimes play. So just interesting to just kind of, like, shave down on the general speed and kind of cover for some... I think the End Festivity is more for the Mirror than anything else, but...
Yeah, interesting. I don't think the Mirror is, like, running rampant right now. too.
I don't think so, but I think it's a smart play if you just want to, you know, if you feel well positioned against most of the rest of the format, just to make sure you're hedging a little bit in that area. I think
it's
that's
good against
fine.
Cogates too, I guess, which is a deck that you are not good against. So
no.
that,
and there
that
were
makes
two
sense.
There were two Cogates decks in this top eight. So,
okay. Yeah. This Boros in top eight, the Boros Synthesizer, it is not playing any All That Glitters. Nope. It is playing Journey to Nowhere instead.
And Seeker of the Way.
Yep, and it has four Seeker of the Way as well as the eight wow. Inspectors. So this is more, I guess you could say more interactive because it has the Journeys rather than the Glitters.
Like almost, you could almost say more mid-rangey.
More mid-rangey, definitely.
That's fair.
Some more on that.
Is this
spectrum.
The first four Seeker of the Way list we've seen in like a while anyway?
I believe so, yeah. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, I haven't seen cool. four Seeker of the Way in like a long while.
I'm not even on four Seeker of the Way. But this Orzhov deck as well, the Orzhov Blade deck, is eight Inspectors. That kind of surprises me just because I don't... Like, the artifacts are nice to sacrifice to Deadly Dispute. Thomas is over there laughing, but I just don't...
Results speak for themselves.
I just don't feel like this is what you want to do in this kind of deck.
I feel like this 16 white creature core is proving very powerful.
Yeah,
with Glinthawks and Core Skyfishers as your like flyers that pick stuff up, and either in the case of Glinthawk, like it has to be an artifact, but Skyfisher can just like even reset the Inspectors if you need it to. And just you just keep drawing cards and just playing eight Inspectors, just it's just so much value. Like a one mana 1/2 blocks pretty much everything out of mono red besides the Blast Runner with a sacrifice trigger. I think whether you tweak numbers here and there and you play like six Inspectors or maybe like three core Skyfishers. I think this like 16 card core of these four creatures is really strong, and I think that's proving itself in this deck, the Boros decks, like some number of these in the Glitters decks. I think this is one of those like packages that we've like talked about, like one of these like powerful packages in the Pauper format, and I think this is a just emblematic of like you can base other things around this package and they will support it really well.
I guess if you're in black pack, you're Drowning Sorrows.
Yes.
Just wipe all the white deck's boards away.
Yeah.
Which, the package that's fun in this deck is my favorite, is the Core Skyfisher Unlimited.
Yeah.
Because very, very it strong. Can just get to a point where, like, they can't kill it. Yeah, because you play a Core Skyfisher, bounce whatever back to your hand, say they kill it, you play Unlimited, play the Core Skyfisher, and you bounce back the Unlimited, and you don't play the Unlimited until they kill your Core Skyfisher. And so it's just basically you have an unkillable Core Skyfisher unless they counter that Omen of a Dead. But against decks like Gardens, they have no way of getting rid of the Omen of Dead, no way of countering it coming down. So it is just uncounterable. Wait. The Humoda list. Humoda list for Mogwart.
Yeah.
I figured out why these decks are playing Mesmeric themed.
Yeah?
It's because you can cast it, trigger on a stack, sacrifice it to Deadly Dispute.
Yeah,
and you permanently take away that
card.
Yeah,
it's the old, it's got two blocks of text on it. Trust me, as someone who used to play my fair share of that exact templating of card.
O-rings.
Oh, not necessarily O-ring, but like Fiend Hunter, and yes, Oblivion is one of them, and
Spell Queller,
and
in a different kind of way.
Yes,
but I like tricking people on Arena with Spell Queller because a lot of Arena people are used to the like new templating,
mm-hmm.
and they're like. Well, I'll just kill spell. No,
doesn't work.
No.
But no, big fan. I had somebody at a tournament at Frontline get very upset because they did not understand why that it was that way. Ooh. And then the judge came over and explained, and they asked why it had not been errated, and they're like, because it hasn't.
Because what is there to errata?
Moving on to our next challenge.
This is Sunday, March 24th. We've got 64 players. In 8th place, Lord Egg on Golgari Gardens. In 7th place, First Shot on Mogwart's Goblin Combo. In 6th place, Out Zero on Blue-Black Fairies. In 5th place, Live BR, also on Golgari Gardens. In 4th place, Bolivo on Boros Synthesizer. In third Mm-hmm. Is it Bull of Zero? Or
no, no, no. That is actually a former pro player.
Oh. Oh.
That is Thiago Saporito.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I recognize the screen name, but yes. I know it's someone I've seen on pro tour coverage.
Hippo, I'm glad you're here to share your knowledge of Moto screen names.
Yeah, I've been playing Magic Online for a very long time.
He knows these things. In third place, Mikathara, 1994, good year, on Blue Black Fairies. In second place, J-Waves on White Weenie. Mm. We're going to talk about this. And in first place, Campo on Mogwarts, Goblin Combo. Does this first place list from Campo, does this have anything of note that is different from Hamuda's list?
Yes, it does. It's got a card called Impulsive Pilferer.
I'm looking at it now. Impulsive Pilferer, a red mana for a 1/1. When it dies, make a treasure token, and it has Encore, 3 and a red. How does Encore work?
Okay, yeah. So Encore is, exile the card from your graveyard for each opponent that you have. This is a commander card.
Yeah.
But for each opponent you have, create a copy of that, and it has to attack that opponent if able.
So it just exiles itself in the graveyard, makes it. It's Unearth.
It's Unearth.
It's Unearth in this scenario.
In this scenario, is Unearth, but it has to attack.
Two fogs in the sideboard, too. And darkness, which is just color shifted fog.
Fog in black.
Which I forgot they got printed in there. It's funny.
I also forgot that it got reprinted in 40K.
Also, another interesting card in the sideboard, we have Pyromantics. Mm-hmm. So it's Pyromatics. You're correct. Mm-hmm. It is one in a red for an instant. It deals one damage to target creature or player, and then you can replicate it for one in a red.
So why that over, like, in the festivities or electricity?
This, you can make infinite red mana, and you have a non-creature way of killing your opponent.
Okay, so maybe it comes up.
It also beats a red blast. Or, sorry, blue blast.
Oh, because you can replicate it a bunch of times.
Yep. Then you copy the first one, but not the.
Yeah, you can counter
419.
Well, you can counter any of the one that you have for your blue blast. But sure. This beats blue blast. I imagine that is probably the reason for it.
Gardens decks look like they're gardening. Nothing too special going on. They're still on. Looks like mostly. Yep, they're still on like defiles. One list doesn't have any snuff outs. Which is, both lists don't have any snuff outs in top 8, which is surprising, like, knowing that, like, we were just talking about the rise of glitters and how important, like, we think these Fey decks are doing so well because they have the 4 main board snuff outs to be able to, bam, got your creature when I'm tapped out and stuff. So that's a little surprising seeing. I guess this deck kind of has to leverage its life a little bit more. It can start getting lower a lot quicker.
I wish I had something interesting to say about this mono white list, but it is just the most stock mono white list I have ever seen. The one interesting card, I guess, is the main deck Palace Sentinels. Just a 4 mana 2/4 that gains the Monarch. And you can pick it back up with Skyfisher. It's kind of cool. Kind of cool. You also can protect the initiative pretty well with your Prismatic Strands.
Yes, you can. So, also, one copy of Recommission. It's a pet favorite of mine. Well, one in a white sorcery, return artifact creature. That costs 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, and if it's a creature, it gets a +1/+1 counter.
Yeah, I think they were playing this a little bit before.
Okay.
Like when this was a little deck was a little more popular than it is now. This does, I believe I remember reading somewhere that this is like one of the highest win percentage decks.
Really?
On Magic Online for some reason, because like I guess the like few people that play it do well with it.
It's not played a ton.
No, it's like not very well, not very much played, but the people that do play it do tend to do pretty well with it. So it's got like a really high win percentage based on that.
And it, like, its game plan is just to go wide with, like, you have your 8th Raven Spectres now and your Squadron Hawks and Battle Screeches.
Yeah, this is a Battle Screech deck. This is the best card in the deck, the Battle Screech.
Oh yeah. Then you got the Guardian's Pledge, so it's like one white creature control, you get +2/+2 until the turn.
Love a good double anthem.
Cool
deck.
It's a good bugler deck. It does a bunch of cool stuff.
I have no reps with this deck.
I have played this deck a fair amount. Cool deck. If you just want to beat face all day.
Seems nice.
Can recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play it in a room with Poison Storm.
No.
Don't recommend that.
Just don't play in a room of Poison Storm. I'm kidding.
That also is a great piece of advice. I would agree.
And you hate that deck so much.
I truly do, and I know that it's going to be in the room next time. And that's even more infuriating.
Who's playing Poison Storm? Right.
I do believe Thomas. Mr. Bitter has decided that that is the deck he wants to ruin my day with, because he knows specifically that it is irritating to me.
I'm going
to
build that too, then.
You know, cool, so. I will just not participate in next month's Popper event.
There is no Popper event.
I said the next month's
Popper event.
The next month's Popper event.
Next topic.
Unless we make our own Popper event.
I would love nothing more.
Which we may talk about. Correct. Off the pod.
Correct.
Anything else? Anything else down in top 16?
Nothing particularly interesting, I don't think.
Just a bunch of familiar names like Echo Baron and Carrot Eater, Baiko Jijea, Fair MTG down in top 16.
Carrot Eater on
Tulio Jampi.
Yep.
Just crushing.
QQ.
Yep. Bunch of the staple folks.
All right, our final challenge, that's 2 months from now. March 24th. This is also Sunday. This is the smaller challenge. It's 45 players. In eighth place, Mr. Back-to-back on Mono Red Koldatha. In seventh place, Jinjaw on Golgari Gardens. In sixth place, Grindera on Naya Initiative.
Ooh.
Now, this is something we are going to talk about.
Spicy.
In fifth place, O Daniel Akos on Grixis Affinity. In fourth place, Blue White Familiars on... GN42 on Familiars, excuse me. GN42 crushing it, as usual. In third place, Kasa on Cawgates. In second place, Baiko Jijea on Blue Black Fairies. And they were also on Blue Black Fairies in the earlier challenge on the same day. So a top 16 and a second place in the same day. Pretty impressive. And first place, AOFTW. On Green White Boggles.
The takeover.
It's here.
It's here.
Well, as much as I would love to talk about this Boggles deck, you know we're gonna talk about deck.
I'm gonna look at this Boggles deck shortly. They're only playing two All the Glitters, partially because this deck wants to play Ethereal Armor, I think, a little bit more, and that counts. It not only does it get first strike, but you really care a lot more about counting just your enchantments, as opposed to artifacts and enchantments in this sort of list.
Oh, yeah. This has no way to make artifacts, it looks like. And
right, not really.
The Ethereal Armor just cheaper.
Glitters, cheaper, basically. First Strike is great. Mm-hmm. We do have a copy of Vitality Charm in the board, which we talked about. Pretty sick. Everything else looks pretty straightforward. Three Young Wolves in the board.
We said in a previous episode, like, why are the Young Wolves here? I think it's here to eat a Tithing Blade. So, like, it gets sacked to a Tithing Blade, come back, and then... sack to a Tithing Blade again.
Yeah.
And if worse comes to worse, you have a creature to put something on if you absolutely have to.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's a really good point that we missed last time we talked about that. The Boggles, this is great. Congrats on a great finish. It's been kind of popping up a little bit in like top 16s and top 8s.
It has a little bit more. I wonder, just probably good against Glitters, I'd have to imagine, if you're just racing them. And
a race with lifelink on your side is probably a good place to be.
Like, I think
if that's the case, yeah.
Any deck that you're racing, I think, is a good matchup on. I think the deck just has to dodge Tithing Blade decks,
sure,
which there's a few of.
There are a few. just a few.
Popular card, Tithing Blade.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about this Naya and deck?
James, you wanna kick us off? Tell us, because this is like its own like kind of archetype that has spawned slightly different variations over the last several months.
Yes, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
So
what's the core?
The core is, yes, I would like to obviously turbo out either my initiative creatures or my monarch creatures.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. So to do that, you have several different pieces of acceleration that you're going to use. We'll start in your mana base. You have Sandstone Needle. That's the depletion lands from the mask block.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Hickory Woodlot, also the other ones, same depletion lands.
It's playing Manaya depletion lands.
It is not playing.
Also has Remote Farm. No, it has two copies of Remote
Farm. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yep.
Apologies. Yes.
So four red, three green, two white.
So cool. That's a lot of those.
Yeah.
That's nine of them. You have those. You have Lotus Petal.
Pretty good.
You have Simeon Spirit Guide.
It's pretty good.
You have the Blink Goblin.
What's name sticker goblin?
You have name sticker goblin, which is actually name sticker goblin online.
Yes,
so that's cool.
Oh, okay. So
this doesn't work in paper necessarily the same.
It kind of does. It works it makes like
roughly the same
percentages. So like online, for those who aren't familiar, it's a 2 and a red for a 2/2 that when it enters the battlefield, it makes an amount of mana. I believe the paper version, you have to count up how many vowels are in a specific sticker that you get.
Correct.
Sticker you put in the name.
Many unique vowels.
Yeah.
So up to 5 mana.
So up to 6 because it counts Y.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So that's not really a vowel.
Yeah.
But, okay.
So that's why they chose on Magic Online, they gave it one of the D20 roll spreads. So like, if you roll 1 through 6, you get 4 mana. 7 through 14, you get 5. 15 through 20, you get 6. So it's just basically Seething Song on a 2/2.
Cool. So the idea is that on Magic Online, you can do this you can put an initiative creature into play on turn 1.
Yes.
Because you also have ways to filter so you have Rite of Flame. Sorry, another accelerant. Mm-hmm. And to filter color, you have Manamorphose as well. But you got to make sure that in the games where you're not able to turbo this out, you need to be able to, like, live a little longer, so you have a set of lightning bolts, but your actual cards that do the thing that you want to do, the initiative part, you're playing 4 Avenging Hunter, you're playing 4 Goliath Paladin, you're playing 4 Trailblazer's Torch, you're playing 12 initiative creatures. That is a lot.
So the Torch is just a 4 mana equipment. When it enters battlefield, you take the initiative.
Yes.
And so itself is not a body, it just gets
the initiative
going. It's playing 2 Kick in the Door, which I thought was interesting.
That is a really cool card, for those unfamiliar, as I was unfamiliar.
Me as well.
Single red for a sorcery. It says, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. That creature gains haste until the end of turn and cannot be blocked by walls this turn.
Yeah.
And venture into the dungeon.
So it's there for wall combo, right?
Truly.
Yeah.
So
venture in a dungeon, how that works, if you're already in the initiative, it'll just go one step further into the dungeon, the initiative. If you're not in the initiative yet, it'll go into one of the 3 dungeons printed in Adventures of the Forgotten Realms. So, like, don't play this unless you're in the initiative already.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Unless you have the initiative
already.
That
is probably why it's already only into 2.
Yes, because it's just kind of a turbo.
I am kind of... I mean, I am and I'm not surprised that this deck is not playing Ephemerate. I would imagine it would.
Interesting.
I don't think it's very heavy in white.
No, like, it's not. It's only playing Goliath Paladin in the main, but... Interesting, nonetheless. If you were that devoted to the plan,
it's basically a Gruul deck with splashing
Goliath Paladin,
and man, just splashing Avenging Hunter too, for real.
Super super clean board. Look at this: the 4/4/4/3, 3 Breath Weapon, 4 Casting the Fire, 4 Pyroblast, and 4 Weather the Storm.
Love it.
We'll just lose to graveyard decks. It's fine.
Oh yeah, you will lose to like fine. One land spy.
Yeah,
also
no,
has the
kill him.
The 4 Crimson Fleet Commodore, which is the 4 mana 5/2 monarch creature in red.
Would either of you ever play this in a?
I would absolutely play this.
I know,
but you know, you need to get sticker sheets.
Yeah, that's fine.
Ugh,
purchasing sticker sheets, ew.
Yeah.
Can we just? I wish we could just play Seething Song. Wish we could just do that instead.
I don't think that'd be okay.
Yeah, Seething Song's fine. It's fine.
I'm
being deceitful.
Now, this list is sick. There have been like a handful of versions of this type of idea that have popped up over the last few months. Like, the original one that I remember seeing was just like a mono red version that, like, the week that someone like 5-0'd a league or like did really well in a challenge with.
Yeah. Kalikai's, I believe, actually was.
Yeah. And just like, it was just everywhere for like that whole week. It was everywhere in the queues.
He was just trying to see how fast he can make the red deck. He's like, I've done this.
Yes.
And everyone's like, oh no.
It's like, we're going to Kuldotha Rebirth into Goblin Bushwhacker. And Kalakai's like, I'm going to make the initiative on turn 1. And we're like, oh. Oh.
Correct.
This is fine.
Really happy to see Grixis Affinity chilling here too. Just O'Daniel Aklis on it, I believe. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they usually play this deck.
Yes.
So it's cool to see this deck popping up. It's still here, can still do well. It's still grindy and good. Yep. Blood Fountain buying back Mirror Enforcers and Somergon Heverguards is still annoying.
I actually just put this deck together for someone to learn how to play Popper.
Nice.
Yeah.
One of our whole collection, you said.
It derives decks from so, or their cards from so many different decks. I'm like, I can't build like an actual deck without like half these cards.
We could fix that.
Oh no, I mean, I can build something, but it just then like the number of cards that it takes from just random decks, like all the deadly disputes, and then the artifact lands, and this and this and that, and like cyborg cards, like all the blasts, and so on and so forth. It just takes like a bunch of cards.
And stuff feel about dust to dust.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's just every cyborg.
Every white cyborg plays it. Yeah. All right. Hell anything else y'all would like to talk about in this this top 8?
The Kuldatha list in top 8, it's the same. It's Mister's list again. It's the same with just like the two and the festivities in the main, just like hedging a little bit with some main deck choices. So that's pretty cool. Some continued success there.
Is that a wrap?
It might be.
It's okay to have a little shorter one. We've been recording for an hour.
I believe so.
We've had a few longer ones the last couple.
We have. We have
indeed.
We'll give our editor a break. I love...
Much appreciated.
I like referring to our editor as our editor and not the person standing next to me or sitting next to me as in Thomas. Alrighty, if y'all made it this far, we appreciate you so much for listening. If you got any questions, you should send them over to commongroundmtgpod@gmail.com.
Did we have a hippo fact this week?
Yeah, hippos like Tool.
I mean, that's
no, we didn't have an actual factual hippo fact this week. That's okay. I dropped the ball. I know. Oh well, get used to it. I'm full of disappointments. You'll learn that. but anyway, send us questions over there. You can follow us on Twitter. Send us questions on Twitter. All that fun stuff.
Maybe we'll do a mailbag episode.
Would love to do.
Send them in.
Yeah, send in. I want a bunch of trinkety questions. Send them in.
Or questions. You know, ask questions about us. Ask. You know, what do you want to know? We're open books.
Yeah.
But like probably mostly about Magic and
Pop. Yeah.
I just foresaw a question incoming from Spencer, directed at me. It's like top 5 favorite Tool songs. I'm like, we'll talk about that off the pod.
Thomas doesn't want to edit an hour of you talking about Tool.
Oh, that won't be happening.
I don't want to. Thomas, stop. But thank y'all so much for listening to this. We made it that far. Y'all take care.
Later, everyone.
Thanks for listening, fam. Appreciate y'all so much. Have a good week. Hi, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't know if
Chowder
y'all
can hear,
but
on the podcast.
The cats are scratching at the door. They want to come in. They want to play.
He's like, let us talk about Popper.
They're probably pretty good at Popper.
What deck would Chowder play?
Anything with Sacred Cat.
It's too on theme.
It's too on theme?
He would play...
Oko can play Burn.
Oko would play Burn. Chowder would play Tron.
Or would Croissant play Burn?
Croissant would play
like the most... Like,
obnoxious.
Laxed deck on the planet.
No.
Laxed?
Like, oh, just chill.
Like, just chill deck. Chill. Like, oh. Fog.
Fog.
No, I think Fog is too intelligent for Croissant.
Whoa.
calling the cat less than intelligent?
Yeah.
No, I just think there's a spectrum, and maybe Croissant isn't near the top. I love him. Please don't hate me.
He's talking bad about your cat.
I know.
Okay, rewind.
Donkey!
Whoa. Rated E. Not rated E anymore. Or rated E for
Donkey. Rated E for explicit.
Rated E for explicit.